I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. We're going to cover a scripture tonight that is very well known. You've probably read this and heard this scripture and even committed it to memory from the time that you first started to learn about Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to examine what your reasonable service is. We want to be reasonable, right? Okay, I heard one amen over there. We want to be reasonable. You know that God's reasonable? Tonight we're going to talk about what reasonable is. Okay, let's stand as we read Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writing says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each of us a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you again, Lord, for your word. I pray that you'd open our hearts now to receive your message. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me the exact words that we need to hear. Lord, I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul begins with an appeal. And when something starts off like this, chapter 12 starts off, it automatically catches my attention. As Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren." Now that word beseech is interesting in that, yeah, it carries an idea, maybe even to beg or to implore, but it is a challenge. It is a strong challenge, and it literally means to call someone to oneself. As Paul is saying, look, he's not just saying, look, you guys, you got to do this. He's saying, guys, join me. He's calling every believer to the lifestyle that he had chosen for himself. Join me, he's saying. He's asking you to do the same thing that he's already done. What's your answer? Don't answer. All right? Are you ready to live the life of an Apostle Paul? When we think about his life, he gave up his life. I mean, he put everything aside. He said, "I count all things lost except that which he had done for Christ." All right? He was, and we all know, he was the up and rising star in the Jewish religion. We all know he was he was going to be the guy. And he threw all of it away to answer God's call. And he says, when he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," he's saying, come join me. Come get part of what I have, all right? "I beseech you by the mercies of God." Now, this is where it gets interesting. Are you ready to live the life of an Apostle Paul? Don't answer. Until you consider this. By the mercies of God. That word "by," it means on account of. Why would you throw your life away? For lack of a better way to put it. Why would you set aside your desires and live the life that the Apostle Paul lived? On account of the mercies of God. That's the reasoning. Right? I want you to consider, what has God done for you? What has God done for you? Well, first of all, He loves you. Even when you were unlovable, He loved you. The Bible tells us that God proved His love towards you in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. That's one thing He's done for you. He gave His Son, Jesus, to be the sacrifice for your sin. As unworthy as you and I were, He saved you. And He's given you everything that you have and everything that you will ever have. The best part is He prepared a place in heaven for you, eternal, that'll never fade away. It's just a few things. Now, I want you to stop and I want you to think, you know, just what has God done for me? All right? Because when you make that list of what God has done for me, that list will determine, will you present your body a living sacrifice? Will you conform yourself to the lifestyle that Paul is calling us to? That when Paul says, present your body a living sacrifice, that word present, it was a religious term. And everybody knew what that meant. It meant to offer a sacrifice. They knew what a sacrifice was back when Paul was writing this. That's where you took the lamb or you took an animal of some sort to the temple and they killed that animal because you had dedicated that animal to God. They knew what a sacrifice was, but they did not know what a living sacrifice was. You see, that was so foreign to everything that they had been taught in the Old Testament. So by being a living sacrifice, that means, are you ready for this? This is the life that Paul's calling us to. That means that you would sacrifice your wants and your desires for the wants and desires of God. Does that make sense? All right? Now you have to establish, what has God done for me? And if you don't get that right, you won't get this part right. If you're going to be a living sacrifice, you're going to say, okay, it's not about me. It's about my life being lived according to the desires that God has for me. Okay? That you would yield yourself, and this is it, that you would completely yield yourself to God with no strings attached. You ever put limitations on God? Lord, I will, as long as I don't have to, and fill in the blank. That's not what a living sacrifice is. Whatever He wants you to do, you'll do. Wherever He wants you to go, you'll go. That's what Paul is calling us to. That was the life that he had committed to. That's what he's asked. And then you come down to the last part of verse 1, which is your reasonable service. Now wait just a minute. You mean I'm supposed to lay aside everything that I want, everything that I desire, and exchange that for everything that God wants and everything that God desires? And that's reasonable? You answer me. Is that reasonable? It is. It absolutely is. See, the good news is God doesn't want to ruin your life. He wants you to have His best. You know? But you have to come to grips with this idea of being a living sacrifice so that your life is lived in accordance with what God has called you to. That is your reasonable service. And here's how you do it. Step one. You ready? Don't be conformed to this world. Now that word conform literally means to put something in a mold so that it will take the shape of that mold. And I want to tell you something. Living in the world, it's hard not to be like the world. Is it not? I mean, you stop and think. How does the world respond when someone does something wrong to them? I'll get even. Right? Does the world love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind? Absolutely not. Does the world love his neighbor as himself? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the motto of the world is, do it to them before they do it to you. You know? Step one, if you want to be a living sacrifice, don't be like the world. Instead, be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. All right? And this is different. You can be conformed or you can be transformed, but you can't be both. Right? That word transform, it's where we get our word metamorphosis from. And it literally means to change the nature of something. What Paul is asking us to do in being living sacrifices is allow God to change our nature. How do we do that? By transformation of the mind. You know what my greatest asset is? My mind. You want to know what my greatest enemy is? My mind. You know? I'm talking about... Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." You know what? When I think about the wrong things, I live the wrong life. There's only one way for me to be transformed. Okay? We're told in the Word of God that if we be in Christ Jesus, we're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You want to present yourself a living sacrifice. You want to be transformed. There is only one way. And that first, number one, is salvation. And number two is get in the book. Okay? And don't read it like you read a book. Read it like it comes from God, because you know what? It did come from God. You know, it's here that there's a big difference between knowing the Bible and living the Bible. Yeah? And here's what we're going for. That you get into the Word, and as you get into the Word, that it changes you. That's why we're told that the Word of God is alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, because it will change you if you'll let it. But I'll also tell you, if you just breeze through it, it won't change you. You can read it like a book. You really can. There are atheists who have read the Bible, and it did not make an impact. But I want to tell you something. When the child of God, under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God that guides us to all truth according to the Word of God, when you read it from that perspective, my friend, you can't help but be changed. Amen. You just can't help it. We go on. Then in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you," and this is the good part. This is, and it's still related to presenting your body a sacrifice. "Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." And the idea there, what this transformation looks like, well, number one, you won't be haughty. Okay? You'll make a realistic evaluation of yourself. Now, that's not to say it's not suggesting that you walk around belittling yourself. "Oh, I'm nothing. I'm no good. I'm..." You know, that's not what it's suggesting. It's saying think really or be real about yourself. Be of sound mind. Okay? Because here's what you are. You are a member of the body of Christ. Verse 4, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Okay? You are a member of the body of Christ, nothing more and nothing less. Don't you think about what that means, okay? My little finger is a member of my body. And I probably don't... Well, I start to say I don't use it very often, but I do use my little finger. I use it quite a bit. My little finger is important to me. As a matter of fact, it's important to my hand, it's important to my arm, it's important to my whole body. If you mash my little finger, guess what? It will hurt me all over. My little finger is important. Now, I say that so that I can just point out to all of us. You may be a little finger. You may be a thumb. You may be a foot. You may be an arm. You may be a leg. But we're all important in the body of Christ. Okay? We're all needed in the body of Christ. And what I want you to understand is that every member is important, and no member is more important than the other. Okay? For example, a lot of people would say, well, the pastor, he's more important than anybody else. No, he is not. Did you know that the pastor would be useless if he didn't have people to pastor? Teachers. Oh boy, we got to have teachers. Teachers would be of no value if they didn't have any students. Some may think that Brother Dale's, our music director, he's vitally important, and he is pretty important. I'll admit, you are, brother. But his job would be nothing if he didn't have people to lead in worship. You see? And that's when he says, think soberly of yourself. He's not saying belittle yourself. He's saying realize how necessary every member of the body is. And how necessary it is that every member of the body fulfill their God-called position. Verse 6, having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion with our faith. Ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, and on it goes. Okay? The idea there, we're still under the subject of being a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? Number one, don't think too much of yourself. You're part of the body, and every part of the body is needed. Number two, use your gift. If you're a little finger, be a little finger. If you're a big toe, be a big toe. What does it look like? Well, one of the things important, ministry. You know what that word ministry means? It's where we get our word deacons. And it literally means to serve. The Greek word's diakono. There are some who are just good servants. Yeah? And honestly, there are some who are better at it than others. I mean, we can all serve, but I'm talking about there are some that just will bless your heart. Amen. Yeah. And they're good at it. It's a God-given gift. If your gift is ministry, you be that part of the body and you minister. If your gift is exhortation, you know what that is? Encouragement. Everybody is not encouraging. Have you noticed that? Some of us, you know, how you doing? I'm not doing any good. I'll tell you, my back hurts, my feet hurt, my head hurts, and everything else hurts. And I've just got so bad. You walk away, by the time you get done with them, everything you've got hurts, right? Well, it's just the way they are, and I understand, I appreciate. But that's not very encouraging. But some people, man, you meet, and they're just an encourager. And you feel better because you talk to them. They build you up. They lift you up. They offer you, things that are beneficial to you spiritually. Some people are good leaders. There are people in this church that others listen to. And it's a good thing. Because they are God-given leaders. And they have wisdom that others don't have. And I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I appreciate that. And I'm not talking about the pastor being the leader, even though I should be. But I'm talking about other people in the church that just have a tremendous amount of respect. Because they use that God-given gift of leadership. He goes on, giving. That word giving is not just placing money in the offering plate. It literally means to share or transfer to another. You know, there are some people who has an eye, and they'll see that person in need, and boy, they'll run and they'll give to him. If that's your ministry, do it. Mercy. You mentioned mercy. Some of us are good at mercy. That's having pity on someone else. Some of us are good at it, and some of us are not so great. But what I want you to get, if you're going to be a living sacrifice, okay, you may not get called to the other side of the world to be a missionary in the Congo and fight the diseases and the natives and all. You may not. God may not have that for you. But He has called you to be a member of the body of Christ, which is the local church. Okay? And as a member of the local body of Christ, you ensure that what the gift that God has placed in your care, that He has entrusted in you, you be sure that you administer that gift, because that's why God placed you here. You see, it's easy for us to read Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh man, yeah! But what does that look like? He just explained it in those eight verses. You be the member that God has enabled you to be and gifted you to be. That's a living sacrifice. Okay? That's what it looks like. You may be here tonight. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. My friends, I want to just take a moment, and I want to share with you the greatest decision I ever made was when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Okay? I know where I'm going when this life is through. I know that He's with me. Whatever I face, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know I don't have to face it alone. He's with me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You need to be saved. And if you're not a child of God, I would invite you. Jesus Christ gave His life. The Son of God gave His life so that you could have eternal life. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here and you've been feeling, you know, a little unimportant, you know. Oh, you're a member of Victory, but you just don't feel like you're really effective. You're effective. Be encouraged. You're effective if you're using the gift that God gave you. If you're not using that gift, then start using it. Do you realize, and I'm not taking away from our election of teachers and officers, but do you realize you do not have a church, you do not have to have a church voted position to be important in the church? All right? You've got a gift. Use that gift. Be a living sacrifice. Because I'll tell you what, God's appointment to you of that spiritual gift is far more important than our register of teachers and officers. You be the church member, the member that God has called you to be. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for this reminder of what a living sacrifice looks like. And Lord, we are a church. Many different gifts, many different opportunities, many different abilities. We know all of the abilities come from You. And so Lord, help us to be faithful. Faithful, Lord, in administering and executing the gifts that You have entrusted to us. Lord, I pray that You'll continue to bless Victory Church. Lord, souls have been saved and good things that are going on. We just rejoice in Your goodness. And I pray, Lord, we'll continue to see the growth of the church. But I also pray that we will be faithful. And Lord, if we're not being faithful, I pray that You will convict us, that You will correct us, so that we can be the servant that You've placed us here to be. Lord, we love You, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.